From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Jennifer Mitchell with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, July 27th, 2021.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by the Maine law firm of Eaton Peabody, serving generations of Maine families and businesses from offices in Augusta, Bangor, Brunswick, Ellsworth, and Portland.
Governor Janet Mills is directing state health officials to review updated federal guidance on face coverings. The U.S. CDC is now recommending that vaccinated individuals in certain areas mask up indoors. Patty White reports.
Most of Maine has moderate transmission, according to the U.S. CDC COVID tracker. But two counties, York and Piscataquis, have substantial transmission. According to the new federal guidance, vaccinated individuals in those counties should wear masks indoors. But whether the state will make that recommendation is unclear as of Tuesday evening. Governor Janet Mills issued a statement that her administration would review the federal guidance and announce any changes on Wednesday. The U.S. CDC updated its mask guidance due to new evidence that in rare breakthrough cases, vaccinated individuals infected with the Delta variant may be contagious and spread the virus to others. The U.S. CDC also recommends universal masking in schools, regardless of vaccination status. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The Maine Center for Disease Control today reported 172 additional cases. That brings the pandemic total to 70,076 cases. Another person with the disease has died as well, a man in his 70s from Cumberland County. 898 people with COVID-19 have died in the state since the start of the pandemic. Today's numbers do include numbers that came in over the weekend. Maine's vaccination percentage has also crept up past the 60% mark now. The American Red Cross is appealing to Mainers for emergency donations of blood as a critical shortage continues across the region and elsewhere in the country, especially for the most in-demand blood types.
Right now with type O blood, for many times we have less than a one-day supply on hand, and that is not a comfortable place to be.
Mary Brandt with the American Red Cross Northern New England region says blood is being used more quickly than it's coming in. She says part of the issue is that hospitals are busier than normal this summer.
They're seeing patients who had put off receiving care during the pandemic. They're presenting with more advanced disease progression, requiring increased blood transfusions.
And she says hospitals are reporting an upswing in trauma and injury cases as well. Brandt says only 3% of the population donates blood. A veterans group, Defend American Democracy, is calling on Senator King to support statehood for Washington, D.C. Perry O'Brien of Camden says for him it's a matter of equal representation.
There are 30,000 veterans in our capital who serve this country in uniform, but don't have the same rights as the rest of us.
Concerns over statehood for the District of Columbia have arisen in part from a passage in the Constitution, but King's office responded this afternoon that after studying that issue, he doesn't feel D.C. statehood would violate that passage. And he says he's put his support behind a voting rights bill that includes a passage in support of D.C. statehood. Senator Collins has indicated her opposition to such a plan. Maine's kelp industry continues to grow. Now a processor is opening a 27,000-square-foot plant in Biddeford. Fred Bever reports.
Atlantic Sea Farms CEO Brianna Warner says that in the last two seasons, the 24 farmers who supply kelp to the company have increased their landings by 12,000% to roughly 700,000 pounds of seaweed this year. Most of them are lobstermen looking for off-season income.
So our partner farmers constitute around 95% of all the seaweed that's grown in the state of Maine and over 80% of what's grown in the entire United States. And so what that means is like fishermen are the ones who are single-handedly growing the kelp industry in the United States. And they're fishermen from Maine.
The new facility will quadruple the company's processing space, helping to build a critical mass of supply that markets can depend on, she says. And that should keep inventory moving from the ocean to institutional buyers and a growing list of 1,400 retail outlets, including Whole Foods and Sprouts. Warner adds that balancing supply, demand, and processing capacity in a new and fast-growing industry has its challenges, but
we're selling everything we can grow. We're looking to add more farmers this year. We're working with people that can work off their lobster boats, that can harvest efficiently and effectively and grow high-value seaweed.
In the kelp harvesting season that wound up last month, Atlantic Sea Farms paid growers 55 cents a pound at the dock, Warner says, earning them a gross of anywhere from $20,000 to $90,000 and even more. That's for around 30 days' work on the water. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
In the early days of the pandemic, the Angolan community of Maine launched a mobile food assistance service, which now delivers food staples and childcare supplies to upwards of 120 Angolan families from Biddeford to Auburn. But its primary volunteer may soon need to step down, and it's not yet clear who, if anyone, will replace him. Ari Schneider tagged along on last week's delivery run in Portland.
It's about 9 a.m. on a recent Thursday morning, and Rui Piedish is already well into his food delivery route. Piedish moves quickly, handing bags of green beans, lettuce, dried fish, flour, and diapers to a young boy who opens the door. Most of the food is donated through wayside food programs, with some culturally specific items, like the salted fish, purchased through a separate grant.
Yeah, ciao.
De nada, papa. He shouts goodbye to the parents, jogs back to the white van loaded to the brim with boxes of food and supplies, and heads off to the next house. Piedish is still working on his English, so we spoke in Portuguese, one of Angola's many languages. Today, the route includes 90 households in Portland, Westbrook, South Portland, and Biddeford. He says he'll be on the road until about 9 or 10 at night, but sometimes it's even later than that. Either way, he says he's got to deliver all the food.
Não posso regressar com a comida para trás.
Piedish is a central pillar of this time-intensive volunteer effort. It's a community service he's been doing 4 days a month for about a year, to the point where he has the entire route memorized. Despite the long hours, he approaches the day with a sense of humor and is quick to joke with the families along the route as he gives each one a call to say he's pulling up to their front door.
Tás bom? Eu ia agradecer com todo gosto, meu brother. Olha, eu tô aqui agora na tua porta.
Like many people in Maine's Angolan community, Piedish arrived in 2019 as an asylum seeker. He came with his youngest son, Rumeri, who is now 10 years old and is helping out with the delivery run today. His wife and two elder sons, meanwhile, remain at home in Luanda, the capital city of Angola. Piedish says he hopes to bring them to the U.S. as well someday. First, he says, he needs to find a job. He hasn't been able to look for one until now because asylum seekers can't apply for a work permit until a year after they have filed their asylum application. Piedish says he recently got his work permit and says once the last of his documents are in order, he'll start sending in job applications.
Teria 4 dias no mês que para fazer esse trabalho, mas sabe que aqui às vezes os empregadores não aceitam isso.
Unfortunately, he says, getting a full-time job might spell the end of his involvement in the food deliveries. He has a hard time imagining that a future employer would give him 4 days off each month for his volunteer effort. And, so far, no one else has stepped up to take his place. For now, though, the route continues. As we pick our way slowly through Portland's Bayside neighborhood, Piedish points out the family shelter where he lived with Rumeri for about 5 months when they first arrived.
Ficamos aqui aproximadamente quase... 6 meses. No, 5 meses, quase.
We pull up to an apartment building a few blocks away. As Piedish bags up some green beans, he sends Rumeri to knock on the door of the next house.
Bate na 18. Toca a campainha e bate mesmo com força.
He says leaving behind his life in Luanda and trying to reestablish himself in Portland while living at a crowded shelter was a stressful experience.
Porque no abrigo, às vezes, passar o dia ali com aquela multidão toda, as crianças se puxarem de lado por outro.
Now, though, as he stands on the street loading bags of food for families that have passed through many of the same challenges that he has, Piedish takes a moment to reflect. Speaking in the careful tone of someone determined to frame a difficult situation in a positive light, he says he and his son are better off for having weathered hard times.
Porque dizem que a vida não é só mares de rosa, né? Encontramos certas dificuldades. Essas dificuldades passamos, mas para bom.
Life, he says, using a Portuguese idiom, isn't always a sea of roses. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
And it's time now to check the weather forecast with meteorologist Paul Cousins.
A pronounced cool front is charging towards Maine, bulldozing a wall of thunderstorms ahead of it. However, this will be confined to the southern quarter of the state, offshore by midnight. Showers north to routes 2 and 3, partial clearing statewide towards morning, and drier for all. 45 north, the mountains to 60 far south. Tomorrow, a totally different creature. The humidity purged. Over northern Maine, the mountains partly sunny. More sun than clouds, all others. 68 north to 76 interior south. Thursday will bring us variable cloudiness statewide, brightest east of Penobscot, with light afternoon showers west and south as another front bears down on northern New England. 70s for most, 60s along the mid and down east coast. Friday, behind that front, showers over the northern half of Maine, partly sunny with isolated showers throughout the remainder of the state. 61 to 79 north to south. Saturday, mostly cloudy northern half, partly cloudy farther south. 66 in Madawaska to 77 in Kittery. Sunday, increasing clouds statewide with showers for all late in the day. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for Maine Public.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up with the next Maine Calling tomorrow morning at 11, a program on improving child protections in the state. I'm Jennifer Mitchell. Thanks for listening.